Good morning. I want to speak to you this morning with regard to the subject carnal and spiritual blessings. There are two different blessings associated with the scripture. One is carnal in nature, found best described in the blessings of Abraham. The second one is there in the book of Ephesians, described by Paul as spiritual blessings. There's a difference between the blessings of Abraham and these spiritual blessings, and this is our efforts in our study this morning. First, I want to look at the blessing of Abraham. And to get a good understanding of this blessing of Abraham, it's necessary to comprehend the Hebrew word beraka. And I've got it written here on the board. It's a Hebrew word pronounced beraka. It has various connotations, but they all point to things that are carnal in nature, not spiritual, but temporal, things that pass away, worldly, earthly, material things. It implies prosperity and favor. It is a gift or a benefit, a present, if you will. Also, in the Hebrew, in the Chaldee dictionary, we find the word shalom embedded within the meaning of baraka. Shalom, it's Hebrew word 7965. It means health, security, success, worldly success, comfort, peace and safety, unharmed, absence of strife, completeness. You find it, I found in my business with the Jewish race, particularly salespeople that I had, every time they departed, they would say shalom, which means health and security, success. The word is, of course, in complete contrast to the spiritual blessings found in the dispensation of the mystery. And as an example of that, to show you just how strong this word actually is, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter 28. And here in this 28th chapter, we read about the blessing of Abraham. It is astonishing. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thee, thy fathers, to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in this season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Wow. How'd you like to start out a new business under those conditions? Amazing. And that blessing of Abraham runs its course through the Old Testament and clear up through the Gospels and the Acts period. Because of it, Abraham was one fat cat. He had cattle and gold because of the blessing of Abraham. Paul speaks of this blessing of Abraham coming on the Gentiles before the great divide of Acts 28. And this blessing is spoken of 75 times in Scripture. Would anybody here venture a guess as to how many times Paul referred to it in his epistles? Three. They are Romans 15:29, the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which he blessed, we blessed. Galatians 3:14, the blessing of Abraham. You would think out of 75 times it would be found more often, but these are the only occurrences of the word in Paul's epistles. And even more, when you finally pass the end of the Acts chronologically, when you pass that time, neither Abraham or this blessing is never mentioned. Once. No blessing of Abraham is associated with the heavenly places and the dispensation of the mystery. It is not found in any place with regard to before the foundations of the world. There are some terms in the scripture which, by their very nature, and the place where they occur or don't occur, shed a lot of light on various subjects in Scripture. I've always said in the original Scriptures, where there is a blank, it is so inspired that God is, even where there is a blank. And that's what we need to pay attention to in cases where certain subject matters do not come up. For some reason, Paul has abandoned this blessing of Abraham and is not found chronologically after the end of the Acts period. The blessing of Abraham, that's one of the blessings. It's Barakah. Now, the other blessing that is found in Scripture is found, turn in your Bibles, no surprise, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. You probably know it. You probably don't have to turn there. But nevertheless, it's there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. These blessings that he is speaking about there are peculiar in that they are all spiritual, unlike the physical, temporal blessings of Abraham. Here the scene changes dramatically. The word is a Greek word, eulogia. It comes from the root words eu, E-U, meaning well, and the root word lego, meaning to speak. It literally means to speak well of, adoration, praise. It's a well-done, attaboy type of word. It's once translated, as a matter of fact, fair speech. It is, these spiritual blessings, a whole subject in itself. But it is not all spiritual blessings, but every blessing that is spiritual. It's not like some have three or four spiritual blessings and another one has some of those and three or four more of these. That's not the case. Every blessing that is spiritual, however many there are, 40, 50, 150, I don't know. But whatever, those that are in the body of Christ have all spiritual blessings. According to verse 11 in that chapter, it's what we inherit. But what are they? Or what is it? And it's evident, of course, that the word spiritual is opposite of the word carnal or corporal blessings. Paul writes in Romans, even, chapter 7, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I carnal. He also contrasts spiritual with natural. There in 1 Corinthians, he says there's natural and there's spiritual bodies. Whatever it is, by the words alone, it is a contrast rather than a comparison to the blessings of Abraham. The Barakah blessings bestowed earthly. The eulogia are spoken in heavenly places. And completely opposite is this from the believer under the law. We, in this post-Acts period, do not have the blessings of Abraham. And because that is so often taught, it does nothing but create confusion to the person that's studying the word and is in the milk of the word. It is a drastic contrast and not a comparison, like Paul We, like Paul, may know what is to suffer need, for example. We have no guarantee of a settled dwelling. We have no protection during times of danger. We've talked about it. You've seen people jumping out of buildings because they're on fire, and thousands of men killed in war, Christians, pagans alike. We may be poor while the ungodly are rich. Our spiritual worth cannot be measured by the size of your 401k. Our bank account may be overdrawn. The bling on our finger indicates nothing about God's blessing. Ephesians 1:3 does not speak of daily bread. Like the manna in the Old Testament. Ephesians 1:3 doesn't speak about secure dwelling places. It doesn't speak about home, comfort, or business success. It, unlike Deuteronomy 28, is on a new plane, the spiritual, which is on resurrection ground. A member of the one body may be rich or poor. A member of the one body may be sick or well, troubled, tranquil, in peace, in war, blind, crippled, deaf. But such conditions have no reference today to every blessing that is spiritual, nor are they found in the blessing of Abraham for the church of the one body in Christ. It says to study to show yourself approved, and thereby you will begin to understand what some of these spiritual blessings are. One of the things that I think in helping determine what these blessings are, and we've looked at this before, and that is to look at the prayers that exist after the divide in Acts 28. And in studying those prayers, you'll begin to see that they have nothing to do with temporal things. Let me give you an example. Paul says, "Give thanks and cease not to give thanks, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, that you may know the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, that He will grant you according to the riches of His glory, that you may be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend and know the love of Christ, that you might be fulfilled with the fullness of God, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And a whole page of those. Not one request for anything temporal or corporal. All with regard to spiritual understanding and growing in the grace and the knowledge of Him. So you say, "Redmond, what's the point here?" Well, the point I think that I'd like to point out is separation. You must separate in your mind the two of these blessings before you can fully enjoy and appreciate the magnificent gift of spiritual blessing. If you are tied to this, Baraka, you're bound. You cannot get this in your head. Paul learned that. Three times he prayed for the Lord to remove this thorn. And the Lord said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. You must realize scripturally and separate the two. Good illustration of this is found with Abraham himself. If you'll remember, Abraham and his father Terah left Ur of the Chaldees for Haran. Terah, the father of Abraham, died. And the Lord told Abraham to depart Haran, where he was, to leave kindred and country to Canaan, to a land that the Lord would show him by faith. He left. This just amazes me. He left. He didn't know. It'd be like going outside Peru and getting to 31 north and south and, well, which way do I go here, Lord? He didn't tell him. He just said, go. So by faith, he just took off. I don't know where he went, north, south, east, or west, but he didn't know either. He had the faith, though, to separate himself from Ur, which, by the way, was a very sophisticated place. We know today they were doing logarithms in Ur that far back. So he up and leaves. But he did one thing that wasn't right. He took Lot with him. And the Lord had told him not to do that. But he did it anyway. And they settled in Sichem, the plain of Moriah, among the Canaanites. There he built an altar in his faith. The Lord gave the land to Abraham, but he didn't show him what it was. He still didn't know. So famine and drought hit. You know the story. They go down to Egypt and they finally come back. They are extremely wealthy. Cattle by the thousands. Gold, no doubt, by the pound or ton, maybe, I don't know. And the land cannot support both Lot and Abram. So Abram decides, Lot, you take your half. And he let him choose. And he chose the best part, of course. He takes the plain of Jordan, which, by the way, included Sodom. And Lot leaves. And it's only at this time that Abram has separated himself from that which God had told him to do. And the Lord said, Abram, lift up thine eyes, and I will show you a land that I will give you forever. Arise and walk through it. And only upon finally completing the separation from what God had told him did the promise continue with Abraham. And it was not only by his faith, but by separation from something that he loved. So I think there is in this a lesson for all of us. Until there is separation from the carnal blessings of Baraka, there can be no real appreciation from the spiritual blessings of the present. We cannot lift our eyes, neither can we walk into the equivalent of Abraham's separation from Lot into a promised land, which is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. That the God of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint may be. In this period of the dispensation of the mystery, I find no evidence that God is blessing us with carnal blessings. No evidence that he is sitting on his throne in all his glory, directing and orchestrating the trivial and mundane details of our daily lives. No evidence that he is removing mountains and frustrations and bad circumstances. No evidence that he is providing a safe, serene, serpentine highway through life's tragic ordeals. Good example is that, I don't know how many of you know, but Ron McCurry, who's running Truth for Today's house burned down. Wasn't anything Ronnie did. Evil exists. Is he with us? Absolutely. But the spiritual blessings come by way of prayer and the Holy Spirit, the Word, and the finished work of Christ, not by some miraculous change of events on our behalf, because we are still wrapped up in what Abraham had. Unfortunately, so many Christians today have what they think in tow, these carnal blessings of Abraham, and they're like a millstone around their neck because they cannot grow in the grace of knowledge of him, because they're not dividing the scripture as Paul teaches. Consequently, not only is their inability to separate themselves a hindrance to their growth and a peace, but it is a stumbling block to others. And a lot of disappointment that constantly requires explanation and therefore creates doubt in people who look at this scripture with skepticism anyway. So here's the point of this effort and lesson on my part. It's my opinion. You may not agree. That's okay. That's why we call this the Bible Forum. We must be accurate. We must be careful. We must be diligent in our effort to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. With what? Accuracy with our cliches, our metaphors, our prayers, our figures of speech, lest we confuse the student in the milk of the word who is striving to understand the post-Acts revelation by failing to separate carnal things from that which is spiritual. The blessings of Abraham against all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your written word. How grateful we are that you love us. How grateful we are that you're mindful of us. How grateful we are that you are with us. We're thankful that as a result of the word that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.